Fraser, President and CEO of Agrinovas Indiana. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Tell us about your world.
So I have the great fortune of leading Agrinovas Indiana. We are a nonprofit focused entirely on growing the ag bioscience economy here in Indiana. When we talk ag bioscience, I think it's really important. We don't call it ag tech. We don't call it agri-food. We call it ag bioscience because we've dug into this. We know what Indiana's strengths are, and they're really five key things. Value-added food and nutrition. So think of anything that's not a commodity that finds its way to the dinner plate. Mm-hmm. It's animal health and nutrition. So anything from vaccine to feed. How do we optimize that animal? How do we improve the performance of that animal? We think about plant science and crop protection. So innovating at the seed level all the way to how do we care for that plant as it becomes a plant and then ultimately becomes a crop that can be harvested. We think about ag tech, where hardware and software mm-hmm. come together. And lastly, production agriculture. That in itself.
Right.
About a $58 billion direct economic impact to the state. Mm-hmm. But here's the big part. When you look at the total ag bioscience economy, its total economic impact to the state, $90 billion, about 20% of the state's GDP.
Wow, that's incredible. Talk to us about complex subject for a moment, GM. I know.
Yeah, you know, I think there are a lot of technologies to be put into place to feed a growing population. Mm-hmm. And when we look at how do we feed a growing population, there are technologies being applied from gene modification to gene editing. And it is a portfolio approach that has to happen to make sure that the world can meet the needs of those in every corner of this planet.
That being said, there are countries without GM, they might starve.
That's right. When you look at the application of technology to improve food security, we have to look at every option. And we have to be in a place where we don't let our own personal view affect the ability to feed those around the world. And when we look at technologies, lots of technologies be applied. And I think there's tremendous opportunity and responsibility to make sure that we feed a growing population.
That's really interesting. Let's reel back in Mitch Fraser's live. How did you wind up here?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I grew up here in Indiana, spent 5 years on active duty in the Army. I had a chance to spend time out in California. My last duty station was in Monterey, and then came back to work ultimately for the governor here in Indiana. A little brief stint working for the Army as a civilian in Iraq. Came back here to work for the governor and then found my way into tech.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing for the governor?
Economic development. So oh, wow. I was the spokesperson for economic development back in Governor Daniels' era. Went on to become the president of Purdue University.
When you were Army, were you officer?
Or? Enlisted guy. In fact, I went to basic training between my junior and senior year of high school.
Oh, wow.
Went active duty right after graduation. And
in your MOS?
The fact that you said MOS just makes my heart happy. I was a 46th Quebec, to answer your question, which was a public affairs specialist.
Okay.
And so early on in that chapter, you're a journalist. You work at the Post newspaper. And then you become a public affairs specialist, a public relations person.
Yep.
And I was on active duty during 9/11. So when,
wow.
If you look at Monterey, two of the three roads, I think this still holds true, that cross the peninsula across the Presidio of Monterey. And
right.
My job was on 9/11 to make sure that we communicated what we were doing. And that's, you know, where Defense Language Institute, that's where we taught people to understand how to understand what was happening in the rest of the world. And
right.
It was a critical, was and continues to be a critical asset, not just for California, not just for this nation, but for national security.
That's really cool.
Oh, it's so fun.
Okay, so here you are.
So I go back to work for the governor,
yeah.
Come back here to the governor, find my way into tech.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the team that took a company called Exact Target public, a digital marketing tech company. I was a marketing guy, just finished my MBA. And so they asked me, I said, hey, would you come be our investor relations officer? So I did. Successful
doing your
IPO.
PAO skills.
That's right. Yeah. PAO skills and maybe a little skills from business school kind of combined together.
Mm-hmm.
We ran the company as a public company for a little over a year. Salesforce made the acquisition in 2013.
So you got bought up.
We did. $2.5 billion acquisition at the time, one of Salesforce's largest, and then was with the Salesforce team for about a year, and then went and started my own consulting company and was an outsourced chief marketing officer at a bunch of little companies. And this, Tom, is where I fell in love with ag.
And so this is the genesis of Agrinovas.
A bit. I mean, so I jumped in. I led a John Deere dealer group. So, yeah, right. It's a strange connection. So I'm an outsourced chief marketing officer. I meet a team at the regional John Deere dealer here in Indiana and just fell in love with them, fell in love with the clients, fell in love with the space. And they said, hey, would you come be our marketing guy and run e-commerce for us? And I thought, well, as a kid who grew up in the country in Indiana, green and yellow tractor holds a special place in the heart of every young boy and young man. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately said yes, ran e-commerce, had great opportunity to grow a business. And then, you know, early in that chapter, the family-owned business came to me and said, we'd like you to be the CEO.
Oh, wow.
And so I got a chance to be the CEO of this regional John Deere dealer, one of the top performing dealers in North America. Just so proud of them. And then here in 2020, amidst the pandemic, the founding CEO of Agrinovis departed to go work for the United Nations. And they asked me if I'd be the CEO, and here I am.
That's crazy.
It's
just
fun.
Step right into it.
Step right into
yeah,
it.
You realize how blessed you are?
I realize it every day. I'm blessed here at work, you know, to be in a place where we get the opportunity to affect the future of the only economy in the world that touches every person on this planet. And I think it's so important to say that, because when you look at this food economy, we all ideally have an interaction with food 3 times a day. And if we look at history and we look at philosophers, lots of people will talk about we're 3 to 6 days away from anarchy without a meal. And when you look at the areas in this world who have faced challenges with food security, we see challenges to national security. And so the work that we do here, the work that we do in growing the ag bioscience economy, the food economy, is not just critical to our ability to eat. It's critical to our ability to have a safe and secure country.
And you're a nonprofit.
We are a nonprofit.
That's interesting. So a truly greater good mission.
For sure. You know, we are backed, we're led by a board of 35 leaders from across this economy, global leaders like Corteva, Elanco, and great local businesses, regional businesses like Beck's Hybrids or AgReliant, and then Purdue University and many others across the state. But it's really this unique collection of nonprofit, industry, academia, government, all coming together, united by one goal. How do we grow this ag bioscience economy? How do we do this in a way that is sustainable, is durable, and ultimately drives output growth for this piece of the economy?
There's two dynamics to doing ag. One is growing, and the other is after harvest is distribution.
That's right.
And it's like your army. If you want to shut down the army, shut down logistics.
The reason why I think Indiana specifically has been so successful in this ag bioscience economy, this food economy, particularly post-COVID, is location. And one of the nation's largest FedEx hubs is here. You can get to anywhere in the world. This is called the Crossroads of America. When you look at our connection to the population centers of this country, there's all kinds of stats that validate.
In both rail and
that's
truck,
right.
Right?
Both rail, truck, and air, where Indiana has a couple ports, not seaports, but water ports. I mean, there's all kinds of pieces. When you look at what happened post-COVID in the food system, what we saw was production seeking to get closer to consumption. And so where we looked at pre-COVID in the food system, I think we saw a lot of organizations, and rightfully so, optimize for balance sheet. Right? How do we do this? How do we grow this? How do we make this in the most capital efficient way? That's running a business.
Here's a paradox. There are times when you can get fresher produce halfway around the world than you can in the next county.
It's true.
I mean, I was in Helsinki and I had the freshest Salinas Valley strawberries I've ever had.
That's right. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that I pick up a bag of lettuce here and see Salinas. Yeah. I pick up produce and see Gilroy. The world is a really small but yet really large place.
Yeah, I was somewhere around the world with Monterey squid.
You know? Yeah.
Okay, so a whole nother adjunct of your world, as far as I know you do for fun, is your podcast.
Yes.
Which
thank you for asking.
The world's number one in ag, right?
There's always disclaimers to this claim. So we are the number 3 or number 4, depending on the day, depending on the week, ag tech podcast worldwide.
How do they do the analytics on that?
So I wish there was Arbitron like there is in the radio business.
Because people ask me, I don't know my stuff.
It's hard to look at. There is an organization that is called something that is not at the top of my mind. It's a publication that comes out that they list the top podcasts by category. How they get it, I don't know, but somebody said we were number 3 or number 4 and we continue to be on the list, so I'm going to claim it. Now, we have looked at this and said, okay, well, give us some real data. Like that,
right.
It's great to be on a list. So week one downloads is sort of the metric internally that everybody looks at. And based on what we can see from benchmarking, we're in the top 17 or 18% globally of all podcasts for week one downloads. I'm so proud of this team. This medium, the power of audio to tell stories in a way that's portable and digestible.
If you Google my show on Listen Notes, I'm in the top 10 worldwide out of like 250,000 podcasts. But I don't believe them. You know, I'm going, how did that happen? You know, why am I not rich?
Here's the reality, right? It's good. It feels validating. Mm-hmm. I have yet to figure out how we can turn that into...
How do you monetize?
Right. FeedSpot. FeedSpot. That's the name of the organization. Okay. FeedSpot.
Interesting. Okay. So let's dig deeper on your podcast. The name of it again.
Our name is Ag Bioscience. All one word, Ag Bioscience. Mm-hmm.
So you interview growers and...
It's the full spectrum across all five key areas. So we look at food, we look at animal health, we look at plant science, we look at ag tech, we look at production agriculture, and we do it every Monday like clockwork. Every Monday it's a 20-minute episode.
It's all live on location here in your studio?
So we do it here in the studio. We typically batch record and then release once a week. In fact, I just finished up a recording moments ago with a big cross-sector innovation conference that'll happen here next week. Their leadership were in. We talked about that. And then I've got a large ag equipment company coming in here this afternoon.
So you try and get everybody to physically come here and visit with you when you can.
When we can. I think this connection where we're face-to-face and can have dialogue, it's just so much better. Now, there are places that we interviewed the Assistant Secretary of Agriculture at USDA. As much as I love Stacy Dean, and I'm sure as much as she loves me, she wasn't going to fly to Indianapolis to talk with me. She did it via Zoom. And we've done that where however we need to be flexible to meet our guests where we are. But I love this. I love being with people in presence. It just feels better. Story's better.
Yeah, totally. There's that magic and that twinkle in the eye that you can't see otherwise. Dig deeper on your podcast. And what is the most rewarding for you? What do you learn?
Well, this is the podcast format that we do is basic, just Q&A. We'll answer back and forth, talk back and forth. But I always learn something. And I think when you look at things like, gene editing, when you talk about biological crop protection. I mean, these are big, complex topics.
And there's some controversy with them.
There are. Yeah. But to be able to unpack that in a way where people can understand it on their drive to work, while they're working out in the evening, whatever that may be, that is incredibly rewarding to me because I believe everybody wakes up every morning, their feet hit the floor, and they want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. They want to do something that matters. And when you look again, this is the only economy that touches every person on this planet because it centers on food. If we can ignite that spark in an entrepreneur, if we can unlock that idea that lives in somebody who is going to work every day, wherever they may be, maybe they're in an ag company, but maybe they're in a tech company, or maybe they're in a manufacturing company. If we can be that place, we can be the one sort of flip switch that happens.
Mm-hmm. So the world comes to you, literally.
Maybe.
They do. Every week, somebody.
We have lots of people who join us every week for the conversation. And I think it's one of those pieces, too, where you begin to remove barriers. People have this idea of, well, I know what ag is because I've driven by a field, or my grandpa was a farmer, whatever the story may be. But you start to learn about the amount of innovation, the amount of technology, the amount of just incredible transformative work that's happening here. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I mean, I always tell this story because it's so powerful. People get it. We get so excited about FSD on a Tesla, full self-driving, right? People talk about, oh, it's autopilot. The first John Deere tractor that had auto steer was 2002.
Oh, wow.
Two decades ahead of what everybody else was chasing after. Mm-hmm. Now, I get
it. They were just doing it.
Right. I mean, completely different context for sure. Yeah. There is an amazing amount of innovation here, and you have to light that. You have to light that idea for others to see, and the podcast does that.
Anything come to your mind of one of those wow, aha moments that just blew your mind?
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, truly, I think about every one of my guests that has been on the podcast, and I think, oh my gosh, this one. I was with a guy last couple weeks here, over the last couple months. He is a pharma innovator. So spent a long time in human pharma, in human devices. And he figured out, if you get a cut on your arm, the wound is open. A lot of times you have trouble healing that wound, especially if it's a large wound. Well, he figured out a way to take pork hide. Pigs are a big business here in Indiana. He found a way to take collagen out of pig hides, clean it, transform it in a way that he can use as an injectable device to heal, to create the scaffold, if you will, that brings this back together. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Like, those are the kinds of things that happen.
You know what? I'm going to have to come back and do part two.
Do it.
Or we're
going
to have to meet up in Salinas.
Let's do it.
Because your producer just gave us the message.
I just got the high sign. Yeah. Sorry. Well, so, we would love to have you back, Tom.
Okay. One more question.
Yes.
I did a couple stories in Nebraska on the windmill and one in up in Lubbock, the windmill museums. And the one guy, the historian, was saying, do you know that the windmill contextually was the equivalent of the introduction of the internet? Because it was a game changer for a farmer. You could now farm the back 40 where you could not do that before. One simple mechanical device.
Yeah.
Can you think of a modern equivalent to the windmill in ag?
You know, I look at some of the significant advances, and this is really of late. I mean, I look at, in California, Blue River Technologies. So Blue River Technologies really focused on weeding in lettuce. John Deere made that acquisition in 2017 or 2018. I think it was the single most transformative acquisition that an ag company has ever made in history.
Wow.
Because what that underpinning made possible is two things. One, you can see that technology across the portfolio and how it's woven in. But you look at what you're seeing now in the See and Spray technology, where, you know, driving through a field, spot a weed, spray only the weed, don't spray the entire field. I mean, the applications that have...
So it's real surgical.
And it is precise. Precision ag by definition.
Wow.
But think of the sustainability impact to that. Mm-hmm. Not just environmental sustainability. Clearly a big story there. But think about business sustainability. You don't have to pay for an application across the entire field.
Yep.
You're not using that chemical or fertilizer or whatever it may be, however the application is being applied. You're only spraying the thing that needs sprayed. That's big.
Mitch, only because we got this cut off. I'm going to have to sign off. To learn more about Mitch Fraser's life in Agrinovis, Indiana,
yes,
where would you direct us?
We'd love to see you at agrinovisindiana.com.
There you go. Too simple.
Thank you so much, Tom.
All right. My pleasure. We've been visiting with Mitch Fraser, President and CEO of Agrinovis, Indiana. And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.